Welcome to another episode of the Brick House Podcast. Bob Johnson here.
Matt Baker, this is lots of Brick House in this week, Bob.
Well, it's the playoffs, Matt. They're finally here.
Oh, man. It seems like just 8 months ago we were running through every team.
Well,
7 months ago.
Yeah, in early September we previewed the teams. I think we got about 80% of the playoff teams right. It's a pretty predictable league.
Yeah, and luckily one of our teams both missed and made the playoffs according to our podcasts.
Yes, we predicted, we successfully reverse jinxed the Rockets into the playoffs.
Yeah, which was our plan all along, I think.
Obviously. I was going to lead off by asking you which coach would be fired first, George Karl, Sam Mitchell, or Randy Whitman.
Yeah.
They're all gone already. They're all fired already.
Wait, George Karl got fired.
Yep. He got fired. He was actually the third one to go. Mitchell and Whitman got fired last night as soon as the games ended, and George Karl did not get fired until Thursday today, the day we're recording it. So I guess the next guy is Byron Scott, Matt.
Wow.
And we're about to talk a little bit about Kobe Bryant's amazing 60-point game last night.
Yeah, I am very disappointed I couldn't watch that live. I taped it. I still haven't watched it. I've been busy, but I can't wait to watch it.
But do you think the Lakers, when do you think they fire Byron Scott? I know everyone wants to let this last Kobe performance really sink in before they shock Laker fans back to the harsh reality and bitter outlook that they have for the seasons going forward.
The harsh reality of their team.
I think they fire Scott after the draft lottery, but before the draft.
Yeah.
Is my prediction. You know, once they see where they're going to be picking, then they can start to plan on who they're going to pick and what coach they're going to have to bring in this new Kobe-less era.
Yeah, the coach, I guess, doesn't necessarily play a factor on who they'll draft.
I won't repeat all the stats that everyone's going to see in every major news outlet about Kobe today, but a couple stood out to me, Matt. He attempted 50 shots last night.
Yeah.
The last time a player attempted 50 shots was in February 1967.
Whoa.
Rick Barry.
Whoa.
Some of the other stats, which I found staggering, was the Lakers cashing in on Kobe swag and merchandise.
Yeah.
Did you hear about this, Matt?
No.
Just last night at Staples Center, the Lakers sold $1.2 million of Kobe Bryant merchandise, including some hats that they had custom made with 18-karat gold that were selling for $38,248, Matt.
Say what? $38,000
fitted hats at the Staples Center last night, of which only three went unsold.
How many did they make?
They made a couple dozen.
It'd be awesome if they made four.
There is also
crazy
Kobe Bryant swingman jerseys that came in their own case that were selling for $824.
Man.
Someone I read came in towards the end of the night and bought 20 of them.
Sure.
To put the $38,000 hat in perspective, that is $3,000 more expensive than the new Tesla Model 3.
Yeah, sure. One of those things you pay $35,000 to drive you around and it actually has some value. The other is a thing that I'm wearing on my head.
The $1.2 million is interesting for a couple reasons. One, the Lakers actually get to keep that. Any merchandise or jerseys that are sold online are split by all the NBA teams.
Mm-hmm.
But merchandise sold actually in the stadium, it gets kept by the team.
Wow.
They broke the record for Staples Center merchandise, which was previously set by Led Zeppelin in 2007 when they played their first full-length concert together in 30 years and sold $1 million worth
of
merchandise.
Wow, man.
Kobe is a bigger rock star than the greatest rock band of all time.
Yeah.
Not in my opinion, but some say that.
Kobe set the record for most field goal attempts since the 1983-84 season last night. I'll read you the top 12, okay?
Okay.
Kobe, 50 field goal attempts, who broke Michael Jordan's record of 49. Then Kobe is in third with 47, tied with Chris Webber. Chris Webber had 40 some field goal attempts. Number 5, 6, 7, and 8 are all Kobe Bryant there, Bob. number 9, Westbrook. Russ makes an appearance. 10.
Was that last season?
Yes. Uh-huh. Then 10, 11, and 12 are all Michael Jordan. So,
wow.
Kobe, over the past 32 years, has 6 of the most field goal attempt games. And then Kobe checks in at 15, 16, 17, and 20 as well.
Wow. One guy paid $55,000 for 2 courtside seats. That's $27,500 per ticket.
Oof.
Normally go for $1,000 or $2,000. Well, we did a special two-part episode last about the teams that didn't make the playoffs. And as we said, we put the Rockets in there. The Utah Jazz are actually the last team that didn't make the playoffs in the Western Conference.
We had to go with something, Bob, and we picked wrong.
And the Rockets had just lost to the Phoenix Suns that week, to be fair.
Don't even get me started. The Suns won again last night.
Wow.
What are they doing? What are they doing? It's ridiculous.
So we wanted to properly eulogize the Jazz season, give them a ridiculous comparison, and tell you who to look for to give you some hope in that franchise. Compared them to one of my favorite sports movies of all time, Matt. That is Kingpin.
Oh, man.
And I felt like the Jazz losing last night in the particular style of Kobe going out was just like the end of Kingpin, when Roy Munson, played by Woody Harrelson, has to watch his arch rival, Big Ernie McCracken, played by Bill Murray, throw 3 strikes in a row to win the game. I think he has sex with he used to have sex with Woody Harrelson's girlfriend. You know, everything just did not turn out well for Roy Munson on that last day.
Yeah.
And you had a guy strutting around the bowling alley and Big Ernie McCracken or Kobe Bryant shooting 50 shots and somehow still beating the team single-handedly. There was a weird instance in the last minute, Matt, when you watched, you give us your opinion on it, but in the last minute of that game, Kobe had 59 points, is shooting his last free throw. And Gordon Hayward took an obvious huge step into the lane before Kobe released the shot.
I saw that.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad you brought that up, because my first thought was he did that on purpose to give him one more chance at 60 if he missed it.
That's what came up on NBA Reddit, too. A lot of people discussing that back and forth. I did not think it at the time.
Yeah, no, that was and I'm not saying this for effect, that was actually the very first thing I thought. It was very early he stepped in.
For some reason, I feel like if that were someone like DeMarcus Cousins, people wouldn't assume he was just such a great guy, you know. But because it was Gordon Hayward, just like assumed that maybe an accident was a noble, gentlemanly gesture.
Look at that baby face, Bob. How can you go against that baby face?
Without further ado, let's get into our playoff predictions here, Matt. We've got a couple of interesting facts and interesting fictions for each team. And, of course, we'll give our obligatory predictions on the series.
Yeah.
I think the first round, of course, I'm going to watch 90% of these games.
Sure.
But it's really just what I'm calling a prequel for the real blockbuster, these playoffs, which start with the second round.
I think it's, for some reason, I guess they did this in Batman v Superman, but anytime they come out with the Batman thing and they do Batman's origin story, or Spider-Man's origin story, it's like, we get it. We know the origin story. Let's get through it.
Right.
And get to the other stuff.
Right. All right. So the first one, we'll start in the East. The number 1 seed Cleveland Cavaliers taking on the number 8 seed Detroit Pistons, who end a, I believe, 9-year playoff drought in Detroit.
Well, that's what I have here for a fun fact. First of all, I put, what is this, 2007? Detroit was swept in 2009 by the Cavs in their last appearance.
Okay.
So, and this is the second time in 8 seasons that Detroit has finished 8th, and they haven't finished above 8th.
Interesting. Some interesting facts I put, The top five teams in the NBA I read had the top five assisted field goal percentage.
Yeah.
I was actually kind of surprised to see the Cavs on this list because, you know, when watching them, it seems like they play a lot of isolation.
ISO, yeah.
But they are in the top five. They clock in number three right behind the Warriors and Spurs. Wow. And right ahead of the Thunder and the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think happens? I say Cavs 4-0.
I say Cleveland in five. I wouldn't bet against a sweep, but Detroit actually took 3 of 4 from the Cavs in the regular season.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Probably a lot of factors in play there, but yeah, I think Detroit could maybe take one. I wouldn't be surprised to see him take one.
Last question about this series. Assuming the Cavs win, who would you rather see him play in the second round, the Hawks or the Celtics?
Personally, I'd rather see him play the Celtics just because I would like to see
me too.
The crazy mind of Stevens can... get that going.
Steven is a beautiful mind of NBA.
Yeah,
coaches.
He is.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next round or the next series, the number 2 Raptors versus the number 7 Indiana Pacers. My most interesting fact, this one starts at 9:30 a.m. Saturday morning, Matt. So get your Wheaties ready.
Wow.
To watch some basketball on
NBA
the West
TV,
Coast.
I assume?
No, actually. I think it's on ESPN.
Wait, that's the home of... the Atlanta Hawks, right?
The Atlanta
right?
Hawks.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot. We established that. Yeah.
Masai Ujiri says this year he's not going to make a public address because that has not worked out for him the past 2 years. The 2 years ago before the series versus Brooklyn, he said out loud into a microphone, "Fuck Brooklyn."
Yes.
And was fined by the league. Kevin Garnett was on Brooklyn at the time, and he did not... take kindly to that. They ended up losing in 7 games to the Paul Pierce-led Nets, which was probably the most money any NBA's owners ever spent to win one playoff series.
Oh, man. Congratulations.
And then last year, I don't know, I think he refrained from saying the F word, but his team was then swept by the Washington Wizards despite having the home court advantage.
That was the Wizards played out of their mind that series.
Both times beaten by Paul Pierce.
Yeah. You know, Dwayne Casey, the coach of the Raptors, has been on NBA, NCAA, and NIT championship teams.
Really?
He played for Kentucky and won both the college ones, and then he was on Dallas's coaching staff when they won the NBA championship.
Right,
I thought was cool. This is Toronto's first time over 50 wins, and they've only ever won one playoff series. But I want you to picture this, Bob.
Okay.
I want you to picture the year 2017.
Please.
The Raptors are reigning NBA champions, and after realizing too many Canadian teams have taken our American championships, President Trump uses the leftover pieces from the Mexican border wall to just kind of wall off Toronto from the United States, Bob. I want you to picture that.
I didn't know Trump was such a b-ball fan.
Well, he just doesn't like that they're taking all of our championships.
Yeah.
We need to make American basketball great again, Bob.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the Raps just double down on their Game of Thrones / Drake the rapper merchandising marketing. I'd like to see a diss track that has the Pacers referred to as the likes of Joffrey Lannister or Meek Mill and combined into one punk-ass MF-er. I'm hoping that they do win because then in the second round... if they got matched up with Miami, who's got the sunny Florida beaches, they could really drive home the winter is coming.
Oh, yeah.
Storyline.
That would be great. I got it. Toronto in five. I you could talk me into this Raptors team going really far.
I have the Raptors sweeping this one as well.
Nice.
It's really top heavy, especially in the East. Well, I guess the top two seeds in the East and West have a lot more wins than their lower counterparts.
Right.
But my guess, the reason I predict the sweep is because of the last 2 years and the disappointing playoff exits and the Raptors not wanting to mess around at all.
Right.
They have the talent and the ability to beat these team 4 games in a row, I think. It's really interesting that the next two series we're going to preview, number 3, 6, and 4, 5, all four teams have exactly the same record.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know if that's happened before, but due to a confusing system of tiebreakers, the Miami Heat have drawn the third seed with a 48-34 record, and the Charlotte Hornets a sixth seed with the same exact record. The Hornets actually, I found this interesting, have the third best record in the NBA since the All-Star break, behind only the Warriors and Spurs.
Wow, yeah.
They're 19-8 since the All-Star break.
They're a fun team.
Another stat about them, although they don't have home court advantage in this series, they do have a good home court advantage in that if the Hornets, in games where the Hornets scored at least 100 points at home this year, they are 22-1, with their only loss being to the Clippers. Wow. One of the highest scoring teams in the NBA.
Right.
Give us some Heat Hornets facts, Matt.
I just have some Hornets. The first 3 years of the Charlotte Hornets. I'm talking about the original Charlotte Hornets here, Bob.
Larry Johnson, Lonzo Mourning, Muggsy Bogues.
The first 3 years, they actually really didn't have a home in a stable home in a division. So their very first year, 88-89, they were in the Eastern Conference in the Atlantic Division. The next year, 89-90, they were in the Western Conference in the Midwest Division.
Really?
And then in 90-91, they returned to the East, but then were put in the Central Division, where they stayed until 2001-2002 before disappearing into thin air.
Wow.
To New Orleans.
That's fascinating.
And they've never won a division title. I like this Hornets team. I think they're fun. They're a fun team. I don't know how well they can do against Miami, but one thing I do know that is going to help is you like these setups.
I do. Great transition.
It's when the right before tip of the first game, when the lights go out and you hear a, "You liked that last game by Kobe, huh? You want to see a real last game? I'll give you a last game." And the lights come on. Jordan's out there with the Charlotte Hornets jersey on, lacing them up one more time.
Scores 61.
Yeah, yeah. Because not on his watch, Bob. Not on his watch. So that's what's happening.
My prediction that I was hoping for is Jordan-related. It's that Jeremy Lin hits a game-winning shot to maybe win the series, and Jordan decides to give him a Jumpman logo with the Dragon Ball Z haircut.
That's pretty great.
I would definitely rock a Jeremy Lin that would, Dragon Ball Z
a
hair
A lot of
shirt.
People would.
I am predicting the Heat to win. I just changed it from 4-1 to 4-2.
Yeah.
Given all the wins that we're just talking about the Hornets having since the All-Star break.
Yeah, I got Miami in six as well.
Mm-hmm. It seems like Pat Riley is dead set on making it to a matchup with LeBron James.
Yeah.
I feel like if they do somehow beat the Cavs in a series in the Eastern Conference playoffs this year, that he's going to sign Whiteside.
Oh,
he'll
give
Udonis Haslam a big contract.
Yeah,
he'll,
everyone's getting paid.
Yeah, he'll be so happy. But let's move on to the NBA TV special, Matt. The Atlanta Hawks versus the Boston Celtics. I found an interesting fact that Isaiah Thomas at 22.3 points per game is the third most prolific scorer in history under 6 feet tall.
Wow.
Behind only Michael Adams, 26.5 points per game for Denver in 90-91, and Calvin Murphy, 25.6 points for Houston in 97-98.
That's cool.
Or 77-78, excuse me. You got any facts for this series,
Matt? Yeah, actually, this one I found is interesting. The Atlanta Hawks were originally the Tri-City Hawks, Tri-City's Blackhawks, and they were coached by Red Auerbach. And they actually drafted Bob Cousy, but they couldn't reach a deal with him, so they traded him to the Chicago Stags. But then the Stags later surrendered his rights to Boston in a dispersal draft. So
this is deep history.
Yeah, so there's some Atlanta Hawks, since it's Hawks-Boston, there's some tie-ins for both franchises.
Wow. I decided to invent a word for this series and call it the coachiest series of the first round. But between Brad Stevens and Mike Budenholzer, both these teams are super overachievers.
Oh, yeah.
And even if that's technically a regression from the 60 wins by the Hawks last year, One fun storyline to follow, I think, is Al Horford is going to be a free agent, and there are rumors that, you know, he says he wants to stay with the Hawks, but he does have interest in playing for the Celtics.
Right.
I'm just hoping, for Celtics fans' sake, if they're trying to get a power forward free agent to sign with the team, maybe they could talk to Kelly Olynyk about not dislocating his shoulder in the series against this year.
That's true. That is a big deterrent.
Makes it kind of awkward when you're trying to sign the guy a couple months later.
But no, that, remember, they can always use the, no, but he's such a klutz defense. I'm just looking forward to every time a Celtic does good in a playoff game, Ainge will be frantically on the phone trying to trade him for, like, Kevin Love or Justice Winslow. Just frantically. Also, a quick note, we had Bjorn on during some of our NBA playoff previews.
Right.
He wanted me to specifically apologize to the Celtics. He says, and I want to apologize to the Celtics because I thought they were trash. All hail Brad Stevens.
I, too, did not predict them to make the playoffs. I had them on the fringe of the playoffs.
Yeah.
The fact that they're in a four-way tie for the third seed, essentially,
right,
is pretty impressive. I got the Celtics in seven.
I do, too, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think this will be the most exciting series of the first round.
Yeah.
Well, we got a halftime stretch before we get into the Western Conference playoff previews. I figured this would be a good place, Matt, to throw in the diss of the week.
Oh, what do you got?
Yo mama is so fat! We got a couple for this segment. Okay, so after the second to last Philadelphia 76ers game, T.J. McConnell played in the game.
Right.
And after the game, he's with his dad and a few friends and family members, and they're walking to a place near the Wells Fargo Center where the Sixers play. And so they get to the door, and they see that there's a $10 cover charge, but it's free for people who have a 76ers ticket stub.
Nice.
Right?
Okay.
So they get to the door, and his T.J. McConnell's dad, Tim McConnell, tries to explain to the doorman, yeah, I don't have a ticket stub, but he played in the game, pointing at his son. The worker still wanted $10, Matt.
Oh, that's
such
good.
Is the respect for a 76ers player
so
these
good.
Days. The second diss of the week just came last night in the Mamba's final performance. Darius Soriano on Twitter said that Nick Young told him Kobe threw his Adidas in the trash and wouldn't sign them, told Young to go and get some Nikes for him to sign after the game.
Going at Mamba, going out on top. Going out on top in every phase of life.
Let's get into the real conference, Matt, the Western Conference.
Wow.
We'll go right into the underreported story of the night, the Golden State Warriors versus the number 8 Houston Rockets.
All they did was break a silly little record.
73-9, no biggie. Fact I found, Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry made more threes this season than four teams in the playoffs, including the San Antonio Spurs.
They made more threes combined or more threes individually?
The two players combined made more threes than, I forget how many teams.
Yeah.
Seven, eight, or nine. But four of those teams were in the playoffs. Not just your Milwaukee Bucks or your Orlando Magic and teams that can't shoot, but the San Antonio Spurs, one of the teams who's revolutionized the three-point corner three, made less threes as a team than the Warriors' starting backcourt.
Wow.
Also, Steph Curry joined Steve Nash, Steve Kerr, and Steve Novak as the first non-Steve member of the 50-45-90 club. Congratulations, Steph. Saw that on NBA Reddit.
Wait, can you repeat that?
Steph Curry
is
now in the 50% field goal percentage, 45% three, 90% free throw club. Very exclusive club. The only other members in this club are all named Steve, Nash, Kerr, and Novak. and now Stephen, which is pretty fucking close to Steven.
Wow.
The last stat I wanted to point out is one to give you a little perspective on the amount of three-pointers that Steph Curry made this season. He made 10 threes last night to give him 402 for the season,
yeah,
breaking his previous record of 286 by 40%.
Wait, wow, jeez. So he made 116 or whatever it was?
116 more three-pointers than last year, which was his previous record. So I looked up some records from other sports to sort of compare this to. This would be like if Mike Trout, I don't know who hits home runs in fucking baseball, but I know Mike Trout's a popular guy.
Yeah.
It'd be like if Mike Trout broke the home run record of Goodyear blimphead Barry Bonds,
right,
who hit 73 dingers in a season. It would be like if he broke the home run record of 73 by hitting 102 home runs.
Jeez. So, like, he put that...
That's a 40% increase.
Like Trout putting that record away in June, basically.
Yeah. If Aaron Rodgers broke the touchdown pass record of 55 set by Peyton Manning by throwing 77 touchdowns.
Jeez.
Or Sidney Crosby, he's a hockey player, I know. If he beat Wayne Gretzky's record of 92 goals in a season and made 129. Give me some stats, Matt. Tell me how the Rockets suck or something.
I was going to say this is the first time since 1997, 1998 that the previous year's conference finals was a rematch as the 1-8 seed the next year.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so in 1997, the Western Conference Finals was Utah versus Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And the next year, in the opening round, the 1-8 games were Utah versus Houston again.
Oh,
Houston ended up being the 8 seed in 98. We've had rematches before, but this one is Conference Finals becoming the 1-8.
I was reminded of that Western Conference Finals and the quote from Dwight and Draymond. If you recall, after that playoff series, Dwight Howard told media that even though they lost, he still felt like a winner.
Like a winner, yeah.
To which Draymond's response was, yeah, that's the spirit. Pretty much going to watch a 6'6" Michigan State 4-year college player dominate a first pick of the draft, 7-foot athletic freak at center.
Yeah.
And if Warriors sweep of one of my favorite teams. But that will be the last we'll see of Dwight Howard in a Rockets jersey, at least.
He has a chance to make money and justify that money in this series, but I just don't see it happening.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
Neither do I.
I got the sweep by Golden State, unfortunately, for Rockets fans.
Let's go on to our next series. The number 2 San Antonio Spurs versus the falling rock from the sky, the number 7 Memphis Grizzlies.
Oof, yeah.
Who fell from the 5th seed in the past week, going 3-14 in their last 17 games.
They are a random collection of basketball players at this point. You got to wonder what Zach Randolph is thinking.
You know, last year, after the playoffs ended, Adam Silver and the NBA decided to do away with the division winner being guaranteed a top 4 seed.
Yeah.
Because that really messed up the Western Conference seeding, because Portland ended up, they got the 4 seed, but they were really didn't have home court advantage, but that made San Antonio go from 5-6 or 4-6 and put them in the first round matchup with the Clippers, which was an amazing matchup, but too good for a first round series, some claimed.
Right.
With the team falling like this, and their two best players are out for the series, Marc Gasol and Mike Conley, do you think there'll ever be a time where the NBA decides, like, we're just going to replace this team with, like, the Timberwolves or some exciting team, and we'll throw some money Memphis's way, but come on. No one's going to watch this fucking series.
I like how, we're in a political, I know this isn't a political podcast, but you know how, like super delegates and delegates, how some of those delegates can change their mind. Right. If they don't feel like this accurately reflects the party or they don't like, right. they can change it. So are you saying we need some sort of basketball delegates?
That's what teams. Yeah, we need the ability to overrule some of these playoff teams.
Yeah, so if like the Grizzlies come in like that and we're like, oh, this could set the NBA back. Like, we don't want this. Why don't we just bring in, like, you know what? Even like Kobe played well. Let's just bring in the Lakers. Just throw them.
All NBA contracts are guaranteed mm-hmm. with only the exception of career-ending injuries.
Yeah.
You know? So you could make an exception like this. If you earn a playoff spot, that's great. But if your two best players are injured and not going to be playing in the playoffs and you lose 14 of your last 17 games, there could be some exceptions.
Yeah.
This season, the Memphis Grizzlies broke the record for players used in the season.
For, like, their own record?
Players, no, any NBA record for players that they had under contract at any given point. The total was 28.
Yeah.
Only 15 roster spot. Pop might toy with the idea of resting his players for the first round.
yeah, just the whole thing.
And because he's been so innovative about it, I thought maybe we could see Tim Duncan play until he's 50. But in those last years, they just rest him until, like, game seven of any particular series.
Right, just until they actually need him. But it would just be the fourth quarter of game seven. Spurs sweep?
I got a Spurs sweep.
Yeah.
Correct. You know, and Matt Barnes and Lance Stephenson, I feel like they're liable to do anything at any given night in the NBA. But I feel like around the San Antonio Spurs, the sort of hijinks that you would pull with your fellow, like, middle school friends, they're going to keep in check around the Spurs, because the Spurs are like hanging out with the varsity football team or something. Ooh. If you're a middle school, you know, dipshit, you want to impress them and stop being a jackass for 5 minutes.
Right.
That's my prediction.
Yeah.
Although that is the wild card of the series.
Yeah, that's what I wrote down on my notes here. It says, how many on-court murders? ?
The next series is the Oklahoma City Thunder and the number 3 seed versus the number 6 seed Dallas Mavericks. Interesting fact, Matt.
Yeah.
J.J. Barea has made babies with 2 different Miss Puerto Rico beauty pageant winners, who were also winners of Miss Universe.
Wow.
And he's 5'9".
Wow.
I think he's inspiring a lot of short guys to work on their basketball game. So
yeah.
Thanks, JJ. Thanks for doing that. And congratulations.
I was looking at it, and Dirk is actually 7-7 in first-round playoff series.
7-4-7?
Seven and seven. So he's 50% in the playoffs if he wins in the first round. Which to me seemed kind of I would have thought he would have won more opening rounds than that.
At least for one season, I don't think Durant's going anywhere besides Oklahoma City. Although he may choose to eat the really, you know, 5 to 6 really good meals, meet the celebrity ambassadors for each team, you know, have hear his name announced on their loudspeakers, whatever they do.
Unless he goes to the Spurs, where they just greet him in sweatpants and in the middle of some lobby of a Marriott.
The Lakers are so out of touch. I imagine their sales pitch for him is going to include something like, Sean Penn really wants to see you in purple and gold, Kevin Durant, and them thinking that somehow that's going to make Kevin Durant say, like, he does?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Sean Penn.
Where do I sign?
This is the best moment of my life.
Kendrick Perkins' confidentiality agreement be damned. He's going to Oklahoma City again.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think everything about this series is going to be fairly normal, except...
Oh?
While Cuban is sitting there on the other side of the court, the other 3 sharks from Shark Tank are sitting across from them, trying to outbid Cuban for the rights to Chandler Parsons. Yeah.
Chandler Parsons is not going to be playing in this series, but... I was suggesting KD, you know, if he wanted to find some good restaurants.
There's a guy. Yeah,
Parsons,
he's free.
Knows where to go.
Yeah, and he will take you there as many times as you want before you break his heart.
My series prediction, I put 1 win in there for the Gipper, but Thunder in 5.
I got Thunder in 6. 5 might be a little more accurate, but I wanted to spice things up a bit. They're kind of pesky enough to win win two, I think.
Yeah, Rick Carlisle. Yeah. J.J. Barea was just player of the week.
Right.
Well, we saved the most frustrating and fear-inducing series of the playoffs, for me anyways, for last, the number four Clippers versus the number five Portland Trail Blazers.
This is the only Western Conference matchup that was not 3-0 or 4-0 in the regular season.
Oh,
so the
yeah.
Warriors beat the Rockets all three times. The Spurs beat the Grizzlies all four times. The Thunder beat Dallas all four times. The Clippers led this regular season series 3-1. So
you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah, so take that for what it's worth. And I really think Portland at this point is kind of playing with house money.
Oh, absolutely.
After losing all the players they lost, and Lillard was a man on a mission to you will not disrespect him again in his eyes.
One thing I fear is that, if you've seen these new State Farm commercials, the Hoopers.
The Hoopers, yeah. Meet the Hoopers.
Yeah, Chris Paul's the dad, DeAndre Jordan's in drag, I guess playing the mom.
Mm-hmm.
Garnett plays the grandfather.
Somebody's got to change that baby.
Right.
Yeah.
Kevin Love is the adolescent son, and Damian Lillard is the baby.
Mm-hmm.
That baby scares me. It kind of reminds me of, like, Stewie from Family Guy.
Right.
And I just feel like this series, he really could be just plotting to murder his parents, Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan.
Yep.
Is a very, very sinister baby. And I bet, this part is just a hunch, but I bet you Kevin Garnett, Gramps, from the series, he might be in on it too.
Oh man, he might be.
And you don't want to be on the opposite team as Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, he'll throw you right out of the gym. Unfortunately, Bob, I think the most interesting part of this whole thing is going to be when Portland pulls the upset.
No.
Yeah, because after Portland pulls the upset, the GM of Portland, Neil O'Shea,
former Clippers GM.
Right. He's gonna interrupt the post-game interview with Damian Lillard to reveal, Bob, that he's been Sam Hinkie this whole time. the plot actually thickens a little bit, because then the authorities will storm Sam Hinkie's house in Philly.
Uh-huh.
And what do they find? Off in one of the corners of the room, they find a pile of Hinkie-like skin, like a costume, a boneless costume in the corner. So if O'Shea was Hinkie, Bob, who was Hinkie this entire time?
A 10-foot New Zealand flightless bird?
Oh. Hey, what I have here is coming this fall. That's what we're going to find out.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That sounds better than Star Wars, Matt.
Yeah.
But tell me you don't really think the Blazers going to win the series.
No, I have Clippers in five.
Clippers in five?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I have Clippers in six. Hopefully this first round will just be a warm-up for their inevitable Golden State Warriors moment of truth.
Yeah, no.
Charles Barkley likes the Clippers to beat the Warriors, which makes me really scared as well.
Likes the Clippers to beat the...
Yeah, he thinks the Clippers have the best chance of beating the Warriors. Of any team that might match up against them.
Okay.
Charles Barkley is notoriously one of the worst gamblers, you know, who talks out loud about it.
Yeah, I mean, I do love Barkley. I love Barkley a lot.
Well, I am really looking forward to starting our playoff viewing at 9:30 on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And looking forward to talking to you as we get started through these first round playoffs. Man, it's going to be so much to talk about next week.
One thing we may have coming up on the next episode of Brick House, or maybe future episode, I saw, along with Randy Whitman getting the axe, rumors, just, you know, you can only take these with a grain of salt, but rumors that the Wizards could potentially be interested in bringing in, for an interview for the head coaching job, Jeff Hornacek, which would reunite Jeff Hornacek and Markieff Morris.
Wow.
It would be great. if that actually happened, whoever runs the Wizards needs to get their head checked. But hey, maybe that happens.
It's the same person that's employed Randy Whitman for the past 4 years.
That's fair. That is fair, Bob.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, and looking forward to talking playoffs in the next episode of Brick House. If Follow us at Brickhouse Pod on Twitter and send us in your questions or whatever you want us to talk about next. Happy to oblige. Until then, Matt. We'll be right back.